met many of you before. I'm the director of the Jewish Values Education Institute here at the Israel Center, and we are proud this morning, along with Rabbi Gold's Avram Silver Jerusalem College for Adults, to go ahead and present this morning and afternoon's program. This session is a double session. It's also part of JCA, and it's also the opening session of our conference on synagogue. We hope that based on Rabbi Gold's inspirational and informative talk about the synagogue, Kedushat Beit HaKnesset, the view of Sefer Tehillim, we'll use that as the basis to go forward and then to discuss from a historical perspective and other perspectives, ancient synagogues, more modern synagogues here, and also at the Israel Museum. So without further ado, Rabbi Gold, and you're all welcome to enjoy.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Zerelfin. Good morning. The text you have in front of you is going to be chapter 84 in Tehillim. And what's expressed in this chapter is in fact something that is expressed in a number of other chapters in Tehillim that are very well known, and we're going to refer to them. The idea, of course, is right there at the beginning. L'maseach al hakitit l'nei korach mizmar. The menaseach was the conductor. The gitit was some kind of an instrument, and this was sung by the sons of Korach. Ma yedidot mishkenotecha Hashem tzvakot. How beloved are your dwelling places, Hashem tzvakot, God of hosts. Alright? So we're talking about the dwelling places of God. When I read this pasuk, I think of somebody else who expressed it in a different way, a non-Jew who opens our davening every morning, Matovu Ohalecho Yaakov Mishkenotecha Yisrael Matovu. In other words, the word Ma doesn't always have to mean a question of how or why. For example, the classic is I don't want to disillusion so many millions of little children who ask the four kashas, Ma nishtana halayla hazel tata tavos dinach, why is this night different than all other nights? That's not necessarily the meaning of the word ma. The meaning of the word ma may mean something like, oh my, ma tovu alecha Yaakov, wow, how good, how amazingly good are your dwelling places. Ma yedidot mishkenotecha, how beloved are your dwelling places. Manishtana, how different this night is. Wow, is this night different? Ma yedidot mishkenotecha Hashem tzvakot. Now there are a number of other very well known chapters in Tehillim, chapter 15 in Tehillim. Mi yogur v'olecha, who is the one that will live in your tent? Mi yishkon v'har kodesh, who is the one who will dwell upon your holy mountain? And you're going to see the words of Ohel and Mishkan and Chatzrot, all the words that describe the house of God. Another famous chapter. L'Hashem ha'aretz u'meloa tevel v'yoshiva. Mi ya'aleh b'har Hashem u'mi yakum b'mikom kacho. Who is the one that can go up to the dwelling place of God, the mountain of God? We're going to talk about one of those psukim in particular, one that is also quite well known. That's chapter 27. David HaMelech says, Achat sha'alti mi'et Hashem, there's one thing that I've asked of God, Ota avakeh, that I seek. Shifti v'veit Hashem, to live, to dwell v'veit Hashem, in the house of God, kol yimei chayai, all the days of my life. Lachazot v'noam Hashem, to see the pleasantness of God, l'vaker b'heichono. We'll talk about that further in a little while. But there's one other point that I want to make. In all of these chapters, when we talk about the house of God, his dwelling place, the Ohel, the Chaser, we're talking, yes, about a location, about a place, a place that the Jew longs for, yearns for, wants to be there, but it's also an idea. The house, what does a house mean to us? What does a home mean to us? A home is a place where we feel secure. We should feel safe in our own homes, and when our homes are violated, this is an unconscionable kind of act. We expect that our homes should be a place of safety, of comfort, of tranquility. It means therefore that when we talk about the house of God, his dwelling place, it means, yes, the Beit HaMikdash, it means the Beit HaKnesset, but it also means the feeling that it engenders, which means I can take that feeling with me wherever I go. It represents the idea of faith, of trust, of hope. There's something that speaks of purity and sanctity in the home. And the Jew wants that to be part of his consciousness, and he takes it with him wherever he goes. I would imagine the Mishkan was a dwelling place that moved from one place to the next. We can take the ideas and the feelings of Beit Hashem, of Mishkan, and of all Hashem, we can take it with us all over. We want to sense wherever we are as though we are in the house of God. And listen how David says, "Nichsutavak v'kam kol tanavshi lechatzrot Hashem." My soul nichsutav yearns. Yaakov Rabinu tells Lavan, "Nichsof nichsafti lebeit avi." Now, when he's trying to give his father-in-law excuses why he ran away, he says, "I have such a yearning and a longing for the home of my father." In Yedid Nefesh, don't we have it? Where is it in Yedid Nefesh? It's there. Next time you see Yedid Nefesh, Nichsifa is to yearn. Kol Tanashi, my soul goes out for the Chatzrot Hashem, the courtyards of God. He's spoken about his soul, the life that is in him. Libi ubisari, my heart and my flesh, yiranenu el keilchoy, they sing out to the living God. He we're taking it already. Libi ubisari means that I'm taking it wherever I am. Libi represents the inner feelings of the human being. Besari represents the outer human being, whatever part of me it is. I yearn and I long for the safety and the security, the sanctity and the purity that the house of God gives me. And therefore they will sing out, Nafshi, Libi, Besari are going to sing out El Keil Chai to the living God. Gam Tzipor Motz Abayit Udror Kenlar Asher Shata Etrocha. Also even the bird finds a house. Everybody has a house. Dror is the swallow has a nest, Asher Shata Etrocha, where she places her little chicks or the young. Now there's a sense of, I don't know why when I say this passage I think of a song that I don't know why the name. No, not Kanti. Karei Kanti. Follow for that. I'm going back even earlier in history. Vuahin Velergain. Vuahin Velergain. Zervet enter in there. Was that Menashe Oppenheim who sang that? No. I don't know why that name just came up. I made up the name.
No, I can't think of his name.
A sense of, was that him?
I can't think of his name, but it was him.
All right, anybody who brings me the name of who it was that sang it with a very nasal voice, will get a few points.
Leo Fuchs.
Leo Fuchs?
No.
From the Second Avenue Theater?
Huh? It's the Second Avenue Theater, but a person, but
yeah.
It wasn't the
DOP. All right, listen, you'll take care of this. There's a yearning to have a place, to have a home. Gam tzipor matzah bayit u'dror. A dror is a bird that's free. And despite the fact that they're free and they fly around, they fleet the ganze Welt, but the end is, you know what everybody wants? Home sweet home. You want to have a place that's solid, that's yours, that's home, that you feel secure in. And that's for me at Mizbechotecha Hashem Tzvakot, your altar, God of hosts, Malki ve'elokoi, my king and my God. And here at this point, I want to take you on page 3. That's, you know, the next sheet over. And this is something that we talked about in the past, but it is in order to understand the this chapter and many other chapters. That pasuk in number 5. Achat sha'alti mi'et Hashem. Number 5. Achat sha'alti mi'et Hashem. That's the famous L'David Hashem Ori. It's chapter 27. One thing I have asked of God, Ota Avakesh, and that I seek. Shifti b'beit Hashem kol yamei chayai, to live in the house of God all the days of my life. Lachazot b'noam Hashem, to see the pleasantness, the sweetness of God. Ulevaker b'heichalov. Now the word levaker in this context really means, well, I mean, they translated here as contemplate, but levaker really comes from the word, you have, for example, levaker meaning to criticize, or bikoret, it means to study something well, and what the pasuk really means is that I look at myself, I look at myself introspectively as I sit in the house of God, I think, you know, what I've done, what's wrong, what can I correct, and how should I go about it. But of course, in the world of drush, in the world of homiletics and sermonics, there's a very famous idea that's expressed like this, and I want to expand a little bit on it. But the word of Akir over here means to visit. It's not really the meaning of the puzzle. Right. So there are a number of problems with the puzzle. Dora Mello begins by saying that there's one thing that I've asked. Do you see how long it takes for him to ask the one thing that he's asking for? He seems to be asking a great deal more than one thing. Shifti b'beit Hashem kol yamei chayai, that I dwell in the house of God all the days of my life. I want to be able to see the sweetness of God. I want to be levaker b'heichalav. Now, what bothered me also about this pasuk is, Achat sha'alti, one thing I ask, me'eis Hashem. Anything we ask in prayer, isn't that me'eis Hashem from God? What do you mean, Achat sha'alti? Achat sha'alti. That's it. I mean, he's talking to God. The chapter is the whole chapter is David HaMelech communicating with God. Achat sha'alti mi'et Hashem. There's a difference also between she'ela and bakasha. Who uses those two words? Esther. Very good. I knew you'd know the answer. At the party, Ahasuerus asks him, what is it? You know, ma she'elatech u'ma bakashatech ad chatzi ha'malchut v'tayaz she'elati u'bakashati. Ma she'ela means to ask for something. Bakasha means I'm going to go after it. Bakesh shalom v'rabbehu. She'elam, you can ask, and then, you know, either your answer is yes or your answer is no. Bakasha means I'm not going to let go over here. I'm going to keep pressing my point. So therefore, what's the one request that he has? And what is it that, why is it Me'eit Hashem? And why is it more than She'elai, it's Bakasha also? And what are these two things, Lachzot B'no Hashem, Ulevaker Be'eit Halo, to see the sweetness of God and to visit in His in his dwelling place. So in the world of the Jewish, they say the following. We know two kinds of Jews. Two kinds of Jews. One Jew is the person who comes three times a year to shul. Three times a year comes to shul. You know, when he comes walking into shul, he comes walking in with a sense of awe, reverence, fear, trepidation. And if he brings his little son with him, and he still remembers a little bit about the synagogue, and his little boy asks him, "What's that, Dad?" And he'll tell him, "My, that's the Holy Ark. What's in the Holy Ark? Oh, the Holy Torah. And who's that up front? Oh, that's the rabbi." Now you have to know how to say that with a real sense. You have to have a little derecheres with that. So here he comes into shul, and he's all full of awe and reverence, and it's amazing. It's a real experience for him. I think he's had enough of it, and it takes him another year until he comes back again to go through the same process of awe and trepidation. Then there's a Jew, second kind of Jew, comes 3 times a day, comes for Shacharis, comes for Mincha, comes for Maariv, comes in to say a little tilling during the day, comes in to learn about Gemara, Chasaram, about Yoni, comes, goes. He feels so comfortable in there too. It's Gishmak, it's a Machaya. It's really, really something. He looks forward. He looks forward. And the light, you know, out of the house I'm going to shul. And then of course you can also schmooze around a little bit with the boys, and if there's a kiddush, you understand, it makes it even more comfortable. But there's a real sense of well-being. Each one of these two people has an advantage and a disadvantage. The advantage of a person who comes 3 times a day to shul is an obvious one. Every day of the year he goes to shul, he davens, he says tilim, he learns daf yomi. But there's a shtickel disadvantage, there's a little bit of a disadvantage. It becomes a little bit too familiar, becomes a little bit too hamish. And when you become a little bit too hamish, you know, you talk a little business in shul also. Guy, I don't want to say Lashon Hara, Chas V'Shalom, don't tell it, but it becomes a little too comfortable. The other person who comes 2-3 times a year to shul, he retains the sense of awe and reverence of the sanctity of the Beit HaKnesset. But you know what he lacks? He doesn't feel the geschmack, he doesn't feel the beauty. He doesn't feel the pleasantness and the sweetness. It's a place that's strange to him. It's a place that's foreign to him. David HaMelech says, "Archat Sha'aldi, I've asked one thing, Me'et Hashem. I want to be in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But I want both advantages. I want to be able to see Noam Hashem. I want to have the feeling of warmth and closeness of the Jew who comes every day, but at the same time, every time I come in, I also want to feel like one who comes to visit the Beit Knesset. That I retain and maintain the sense of sanctity, the sense of reverence and awe." Why is this Me'et Hashem? Achat Sha'alti, one thing I ask, Me'et Hashem. I believe the Me'et Hashem is very important. Because the two aspects, or the two dynamics of the Beit HaKnesset, are on the one hand to feel close, near, warm, and the other is to retain a sense of distance and far. This is not just a club that I'm coming into, this is the house of God. Those two aspects of the Beit HaKnesset are defined by God Himself. He's the one who's both. God is both near and far. He's close and He's distant. He's imminent and He's transcendent. He's Avinu and He is Mount Kenu. He's both. What I'm asking is, Achat Sha'alti, you know what I'm asking? I'm asking of God that He give me something of Himself, the dual relationship that God has to man, and the way I'm supposed to feel toward Him. That's what I should feel toward the house of God. I should feel the sense of closeness and warmth. Tate Avinu Shamashamayim. And then also, He is Malkeinu, He is the King, He is distant, He's far, He's not close. I cannot feel or act in a way that is improper in His presence. It once said that with regard to question that is asked by the Rishonim, may never have noticed it. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu. Let's go over the grammar of this bracha, and for that matter many other brachas. Baruch Atah. What does Atah mean? That means you. That means I'm speaking directly to God. Now if I'm speaking directly to God, then I should continue the bracha by saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam You Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotecha. You sanctified us with your commandments. V'tzivitanu, when you commanded us to do such and such. But you know what happens in the middle of the bracha? We switch from second person to third person. Do you know what happens all of a sudden? At the beginning of the bracha, we're talking to God as though He's close. He's near. My buddy, I'm talking to Him. Baruch Atah, you God. Blessed are you. And then I describe Him. Elokeinu, O God, Melech Ha'olam, King of the World. All of a sudden, you know what happens? I say the words Melech Ha'olam, and I begin to realize that this is not my close friend that I'm talking to. I'm talking to Melech Ha'olam. And in a sense, I am grammatically and emotionally taken aback. I step back. And then I look at Him and I say, Asher, He sanctified us with His commandments, and He commanded us. Because in, so to speak, the personality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are the two facets. There's the facet of His being close, and then of His being far, near and distant, Avinu and Malkeinu. And that's exactly the relationship that we should have with the Beit HaKnesset. We should feel that in the Beit HaKnesset we're close to Him. We're near. It's Beit Hashem. But on the other hand, don't get too close. We have to maintain the sense of distance. That's going to be expressed in this chapter that we're learning now. It's going to be expressed here. And it's going to be expressed here, a number of phrases that we will point out in a moment. But then I want to take you one step further. And we are already related to this, but we have to take it that whatever feelings I have for Beit HaKnesset are the feelings that have to accompany me wherever I am. The sense of feeling close to God, feeling warm, feeling protected, being safe. Wherever I go, I have to have that feeling. That's what Bitachon is all about. The sense of at one and the same time being close to God and being distant from Him, which is engendered by the Beit Knesset. Achat sha'alti miyei Hashem ota vachesh, shifti v'beit Hashem kol yimei chayai lachazot v'noam Hashem ulevaker v'heichalo. This as well is something that is, I'm supposed to take with me wherever I go. It's not limited to the confines of the Beit HaKnesset. Let's go back to our capital film over here, and let's take a look. When he says in Pasuk Bet, Ma'yedidot Mishkanotecha, Ma'yedidot Mishkanotecha, how beloved are your dwelling places? You know that's the kind of terminology you use when you're talking about something that's close, something that's near, something you feel so warm about. Oh, how beloved! It's great. And then all of a sudden, we describe Him as Hashem Tzvakot. Do you know what the meaning of Hashem Tzvakot is in most places in Tanakh? Or in all of Tanakh, wherever it appears. Hashem Tzvakot always represents the God of might, the God of strength, pasuk in Yeshayahu. The nations of the world are going to come against Israel, and the commander in chief, the nations of the world are being brought against Babel. And the Yeshayahu says, Hashem Tzvakot, the God of hosts, Mefakei Tzva Milchama. He is the commander in chief of the forces. He is the Ramakal. Hashem Tzvakot is the God of creation, the God who's strong, the God who's powerful, the God who is mighty, the God who is distant, the God who is distant. So in the same phrase, we have in the same phrase you have both the sense of warmth and you also have the sense of distance. Nichsufavagam kol tonavshi is talking about warmth, about closeness. My heart yearns and longs. This doesn't represent the idea of fear and trepidation. Libi ubesari yedaninu el keil chai. This is all close, warm. And then at the end of Pasuk Dalet, where we just got to, et mizbechotecha Hashem Tzvakot, the God of hosts, Malki ve'elokai. He is my king and my God. These two aspects, the two faces, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those two are the what should define our relationship to Beit Knesset. And therefore, Ashrei Yoshrei Beitecha. Oh, Yahalul Chasela. Just ask somebody, where does it say Ashrei Yoshrei Beitecha, Oh, Yahalul Chasela? They won't know that it's in the middle of chapter 84. Just you remember, you learned it here. Ashrei, you know what Ashrei Yoshrei Beitecha represents? Doesn't it represent a sense of warmth and closeness and joy and happiness? What a pleasure to be Yoshrei Beitecha, Od Yahalul Chasela. The word Od can have two meanings. The word Od can mean into eternity, until the ultimate Ad, keep going forever. Od Yahalul Chasela, the word Od can mean, as we normally understand Od, more and more and more. How fortunate are Yoshrei Beitecha, Od Yahalul Chasela. And remember, we're now learning everything in its in two ways. It's talking about how I am to feel within that location, and the Ashrei Yoshrei Beitecha can mean how I feel wherever I am. Wherever I am, I have to have this feeling as though God surrounds me, He's close and He's near, and I can trust Him. I can depend on Him. And here the next pasuk is the one that is enlarging and elaborating on the Ashrei Yoshrei Beitecha, what it means in terms of me, not only sitting in the house, but Ashrei Adam Oz Lo Bach. Fortunate is the man Oz Lo, the strength that he has, his feeling of strength. You know where it comes from? Bach, from you. You know what that means? We're not talking about somebody who is now in the Beit Knesset, but he's taking that feeling of confidence, strength that he has in the Beit Knesset, wherever he is. He can be on a bus, Mugan Yeri, going to a bar mitzvah in Beit El, and the fact is that he has to know that the real Oslo is, there's the Rebbeinu Shalom who is a Mugan or Mugan Yeri. Mesilod bilavavam, pathways through the heart. In other words, the feelings that you have in the shul have to become the pathways of your heart wherever you go. Ovri be'emek habacha, those who go through emek habacha. There are a number of meanings to the word Emek HaBacha. And not the one that you think, it's not the Valley of Tears. Bapal, yes, the English translation here is the Valley of Thorns, Bapal Bechaim. There's a word, Bechaim, that means thorns. In other words, going through difficult places, and here it can also mean a place that's dry. In a real sense, the whole chapter may be talking very specifically about Jews who are on their way from all over Eretz Yisrael, from out of the country. They're on the way to the Beit HaMikdash as Olei Vegalim. They are pilgrims who are going to the Beit HaMikdash. No, I don't like the word pilgrims. I take it back to you. Erase that. Olei Regel. Olei Regel. And they go through all sorts of difficult places. There are the pathways in their hearts, the Mesilot Bilevavam. What's going on in their hearts? What it said at the beginning of the chapter. Nichsefavagam kol sonavshi, my the heart's gate ois. I'm longing and yearning to get to the Beit HaMikdash. You understand? Going to you remember the first time you walked into Yerushalayim? Anybody? Is there anybody who doesn't remember the first time they came to Yerushalayim? First time you came to Eretz Yisrael, if you weren't born here? I always say, you know, children, young people today simply don't have the experiences that we have. You know, you get onto a plane in Kennedy, you know, and it's 9 hours and 40 minutes flight to Eretz Yisrael. So first of all, the seats are not comfortable, you know, if you're certainly in economy, you understand. The movies are usually bad. The food is nothing too great. So you come to Eretz Yisrael, and then you go, you have to wait for your baggage in the airport, so what? No other airport in the world you have to wait as long. Wait till I tell you about Kennedy, how long I had to wait for my luggage. I will never forget my first experience. I came to Eretz Yisrael by boat. Took a boat. You also came by boat, Malka? You came from Cyprus. You came from Cyprus again. Malka, I didn't come from Cyprus. The truth is, I did come from Cyprus too. We took a boat from Venice, an Italian boat, the Messapia, and one of the places where it stopped was at Cyprus, and then some of the passengers got off, and you knew that from Cyprus to Haifa, it's only Jews on board. And everybody was up all night. Because there were two groups. There were us and there were them. On the boat was the Sartan of Redder with about 36 of his seamen. And what's it, Mishlugum, it's Gehaget, Hakansenach.
Number one.
Politics. And then, what was most amazing was, by 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, everybody was standing on the deck of the ship, holding on, waiting for the first sighting of land. Asaf Merachusid, Achilaini, Adati Lu'umi, Ichreisa, Allah Asaf. And when it came in terms of waiting for the first sighting of Eretz Yisrael, and when it was seen, there wasn't a dry eye on the boat. That's Nichzus for the Gam Kol Sonavshi. We're talking about Jews who are on their way to Yerushalayim. And then after you go through that experience of finally arriving over here and getting through customs in Haifa, if you think getting through customs was rough, that was even rougher. Over the Emek HaBocha, you went through an Emek HaBocha in order to get here. The people don't have, it's not simple getting here. So we're talking about somebody who's on his way to shul, who's on his way to the Beit HaMikdash, who's making his way through life. Ovdi ve'emek habocha. And you know what happens to those who go through this dry valley of thorns? They turn it into a wellspring of water. Gam brachot yateh modeh. The blessing of the modeh. The modeh is the reins. The yoreu malkosh. It's going to cover it. Yehu mechayel el chayel. This is another thing to ask people. Where does it say Yehu mechayel el chayel? And by the way, the pshat is not necessarily what we think it is, though that is correct. Usually we use the term Yehu mechayel el chayel, which is correct, that we go from strength to strength. In other words, here they've had an exhausting journey all the way to the Chatzrot Beit Hashem, to the courtyards of God. Despite all of that, they as they come closer and you begin to see Eretz Yisrael, you see Yerushalayim, you get renewed reservoirs of strength. Yeirah el Elokim b'Tzion, because they are coming to be seen by God in Tzion. Sholosh pa'amim v'ashono, three times a year, Yeirah calls for the same word. You know who else uses that word? After the Akedah, Avram Avinu calls the name of the place Yireh, Bahar Hashem Yireh, Yireh, to see God. Yes, Malki, you got something to say about Cyprus? That's also Lo Yireh Panai Reikam. That's right. So all of that is talking about Olei Regolim who are coming up to the Yerushalayim. Yes, go ahead.
Everybody
wants. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's a Chassidish about. Yeah.
I am from
a Chassidish. Yeah, that was not an insult when I said that. You see, that was.
I didn't hear.
He said that nichsefa. What do you have in the word nichsefa, which means longing? The word kesef.
Okay.
All right, that's a comment on
that's
human nature. All right, let's go right there. Hashem Elokim Tzvakot Shim'at Tfilati Ha'azina Elokei Yaakov Selah. Hashem Elokim Tzvakot. Elokim already is also the God of strength, of might, of power. Elokim Tzvakot. Hashem is the personal name of God, which represents the relationship of being close. Elokim Tzvakot is might. Shimo Tfilati, hear my prayer. Here is, we have something interesting that appears in Tanakh often. The word Tfilati, you should read the pasuk as though the word Tfilati is written twice. Shim'a tfilati, hear my prayer. Tfilati ha'azina Elokei Yaakov Selah. Hear my prayer. That's what it really means. And the Elokei Yaakov is, I believe the Elokei Yaakov, because in many places Yaakov represents the Jew in exile making his way home. Yaakov is the one that was promised by God that you're going to go out over there to Ur Kasdim to Lavan, and I'm going to bring you back to this land. Elokei Yaakov Selah. Mogineinu Re'ei Elokim. Hashem. A number of ways to learn this. You are our shield. See, you are our shield. You're the one who protects us. Ah, by the way, I didn't say one of the pshatim in Yehu Michael Chayil that now comes in. It's interesting. The word chayil also means a wall.
A wall?
A wall. Like a choma. A chayil or a chil is a wall. Yehu Michael El Chayil means as the Olei Regalim go through the country, they pass from one wall to the next, or they go in from the wall of Yerushalayim to the wall of the Temple Mount, the wall of the Temple Mount into the wall of the Beit HaMikdash itself. They go from wall to wall. Chayil is Choma, and Mogineinu Re'ei Choma. What was Choma Umagein?
Oh, the
when
they started.
No, not that was.
Oh, I'll make that one.
Choma. the most recent Sahal action in Chomat Magen, Milchemet Chomat Magen. The Chayil is the Choma, and Mogineinu De'Elokim, you are the one who is our shield. V'habeit Pnei Mishichecha. Look carefully at the face of your anointed one. What Klal Yisrael is praying here is for their leadership. Mishichecha over him means the king. The king, the anointed one. We need good leadership. Take care of our leaders. At times of war, we don't criticize our leaders in the eyes of the world. You see, I did it. I can take an innocent chapter in Tehillim and say what's on my mind. That's good. It's not bad. Kitov, what a sentence. Kitov yom b'chatzeirecha me'olef. One day in your courtyards is worth more than a thousand elsewhere. Bacharti, I chose his stofeif, the beit alakai, his stofeif means to be securely in the house of my God, midur ba'ohalei reshav, rather than live in the tents of evil. Shemesh umagei, Hashem alakai. God is the sun, he's my light, and he is my protection. Hashem l'kim. Chayn v'chavol yitain Hashem. Lo yimna tov l'holkin b'tomen. Favor, grace, and honor. God, the pasuk really means give grace and honor to our anointed one, to our leader. Lo yimna tov l'holkin b'tomen. He withholds no goodness, but not withhold goodness from those who go walk with him in perfect innocence. Hashem Sakot, here is another pasuk. The last people where it is, they don't know where it is. We say it so many times, it's davening. Hashem Sakot, Ashrei Adam Shoteach Ba. Fortunate is the person who trusts him. This last pasuk really proves that what we've been saying all along in this chapter is that we're not only talking about being in the house of God, but we're talking about the house of God and using that as a symbol of feelings, emotions, beliefs that are created within us, and we have to take them wherever we go. And therefore, Ashrei, it says the word Ashrei three times in this chapter. Ashrei, Yoshrei, Vekecha. And then it says, Ashrei Adam, Ozlo Bach, that his strength is in you. That's where he sees his strength. And then of course at the end, what comes from the two of those? Ashrei Adam Toteach Ba, fortunate it is the one who trusts you. Alright, let's go to the next stage. First of all, already we accomplished something. I think we did a pretty reasonable job on a Perek in Tehillim. The major ideas that are expressed in this parable. I know it all looks formidable, but we'll do whatever we can do. I want to start with number three. Because it takes us not only from a chapter in Tehillim and Kedushat Bet HaKnesset and everything that Bet HaKnesset means, it also takes us to a pasuk in this week's Sefer. There are two parashiyot this week. It's Bahar and the Chukotai. This is a famous pasuk in the Chukotai, or it will be famous in a moment. V'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda, number three. Rabbi Yehuda also said, Bet HaKnesset Shecharav, a Bet HaKnesset that was destroyed, Ein Maspid in the Tocho. You can't make a eulogy in it. In other words, you know, it's an open, it's a big place, it's an open area, you can't, you can't make a hesped there. And the Mefarsh will of course say that's only a hesped for an individual, but if it's a hesped of a chavim or a gut of the Yisrael you committed, you can't spread out ropes to dry. In other words, when you need a big open area, so here you have an open area. It was once a base a Knesset, but it isn't any more. Still, it maintains its sanctity even though it has been destroyed. Just the fact that it's now ruined and rubble does not mean that you can therefore
desecrate it.
Right. Can't desecrate it. Vain person, letokol mitzudot, and you can't spread out nets. Vain shotchin al gago peirot, they used to put out fruits to dry. You can't put fruit on the roof of the Beit HaKnesset to dry. Vain osinoto kapandria. Kapandria means a shortcut. You can't go through the Beit HaKnesset to get from one side to the other. More quickly you go through the Beit HaKnesset. Shenema, because it says Vashimoti et migdashechem, I will make desolate your holy places. This is in the Tokacha. And their destruction, they retain their sanctity. All of our sabin, if grass grows, lo yitlosh, you're not permitted to cut the grass there. Mipnei agmat nefesh. No, you should feel badly about it. You should have agmat nefesh. How do you say agmat nefesh? Be aggravated?
Yeah.
Be aggravated?
Anguish.
Huh?
Anguish.
And I would say, it'd be Knesset that once, you know, there's 1,000 people davening there, and now there's grass, and there are, what do you call it, the weeds growing over there. You have to retain that agmat nefesh. Yes, sir.
But what if your desire then to see it restored and to work towards restoration?
Restoration? If that's what you're going to do, then number one, cut the grass. Stop with that immediately. Absolutely. You don't have to leave the grass there forever. Restoration? Sure. The Gemara says that somebody who adds to the simcha of chasan and kala, it is ki'ilu bona, it's as though he built churva achas le churva os Yerushalayim. Rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. One last.
One last. The synagogue in London, for instance, that was so desecrated, isn't there a moral imperative and a religious imperative to restore the synagogue and have it used
yes.
for the glory of Hashem?
Absolutely. And by the way, there the aggravation of restoring it is the aggravation to Sony as well. That's a big mitzvah.
Right.
Aggravate the kishkas out of it. Okay, right? So now we're on the thing. Very good. What's interesting is here, in a pasuk that's talking about destruction, in the middle of the tochacha, there's a silver lining. Vashimoti, I will make desolate. At Mikdash Shechem, your holy places. Isn't that fascinating? Though they are desolate, they retain their sanctity. You can destroy the shul physically, but you can't destroy it spiritually. You can try and destroy Jews, but you're never going to destroy the Jewish spirit. The Beit Knesset becomes, therefore, a symbol of the Jew himself. And not only the Beit Knesset, the next pasuk in the parsha is one of my favorites. The next pasuk says, "V'shamamu oleho v'yivechem hayoshim ba." Your enemies who live in the land. I don't have that on the. This I'm saying from memory. How do you like that? I remember a half a pasuk. "V'shamamu oleho v'yivechem." Your enemies hayoshim ba that live in the land will be desolate. This is in the middle of the Tochacha. It's a lot of bad news, but in the middle of the bad news, there's such good news. And Rashi says, "Zu b'sora tova." This is good news. Good news to the Jewish people. In other words, the Tochacha is there's the bad news, but then the good news comes. Shelo yimtzu shalu ala yadecha means that your enemies will never be happy in this land. And Rashi says, "Zu b'sura tovul Yisrael." This is good news to Klal Yisrael. Shelo yimtzu ha'oyvim nachas ruach ba'arzichem. The enemy will never have it good in your land. Which really means that no people in history, and this the Rambam elaborates on, and the Rambam says that no people in history will ever be able to settle the land. And the fact is that for 1900 years, nobody settled the land. And the Arabs, who today call themselves Palestinians, who came here only in the wake of the of Jews who came up and began to work the land at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th. They followed the money trail, the Tamasa trail to Eretz Yisrael. It's all fiction that there's a Palestinian people. Ain't davar kaze. What it also means is the following, and I believe the Emunah Shleima. Rashi says something, you understand? For me, that means that it's truth, absolute truth. The enemy will never enjoy this land. Eretz Yisrael simply does not respond to the efforts of non-Jews. Eretz Yisrael will only respond to us and to no one else. It's never, never going to be a place of joy or happiness where they will be able to settle it. Never will happen. And this is not a political statement, it's a Rashi. And I tell you, I trust a Rashi more than any other, even more than the Jerusalem Post. And the Kodesh. Yes.
It has been
transported
and restored to the Israel Museum.
Yes.
Do they still have a solution?
That is a very good question.
I would
suggest it has nothing to do with the Sefer Torah. By the way, what the Mishnah is talking about over here are not places that have Sefer Torah. I think I'm going to leave that question to the people who take you through the museum.
I'm
passing the question on to Rabbi Drogan. She'll ask you the restored synagogues in the museum. Do they have kedusha? I don't know what they look like. If they look like
Here goes,
I'm going to be attacked now.
You have my personal invitation. When I come back from America, I will call and make an invitation.
My wife can come with me?
With his wife.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you, I have to tell you the truth. I'm here 20 years, thank God. I hardly spent a day here as a tourist in these 20 years. Last week, I spent 2 days with two different groups of rabbis that came. One of you, Young Israel rabbis, others that were brought by Baruch Yesha. And I got on a bus in the morning and I went with them a whole day. I tell you.
Wasn't it inspirational?
Yes, Toby, it was inspirational. It was. Oh, you can mooch it, understand. I still haven't fluffed myself out from it. But how many times I tell myself I should go to the museum?
You don't have to be a tourist.
You're right. All right, they're all starting up with me. I mean, I made an innocent confession, and what I'm saying was more, was a confession. Let's just a few words from the Rambam. The Rambam, this is the Rambam. Just let's see 2-3 halachas. Halacha hey. That's on the right hand side of the page, the second halacha. One has to conduct themselves with honor, and you sweep them and you clean them. The Nagim call yourself the spot out of the Ma'arav, the Shinor of Eretz Hatzvi, Lahamlik Arshashiyot, the Batek Neset, Ulahatzir the Karkam, Mach Tzalaot, Kedei Neishev Alem, Ubaot Eedom, Yoshim Shalah Hakisaot. You may, I don't know which synagogues you're going to see today, but the Rambam says that the custom in all of Israel, in Sfarad, Spain, and to the west, the Shinor, that's to the east, Mesopotamia, Ube'eretz Hatzvi. Eretz Hatzvi is Eretz Yisrael, called Eretz Hatzvi, that they light lamps in the Bet Knesset, and they put out little carpets, mats, and they sit on the mats. And in the cities of Edom, which he really means the Christian countries, in the Yoshim Shamala Kisot, you sit on chairs. Nearly Ad Hayom Hazeh, even though I think that the our friends to the east have already put in a little their chairs, but they still have their the mats. In Pateya, in Pateh Nisiyot, Pateh Midrashot, in Noagi Ben Kalut Rosh, in Beit Knesset and Beit Midrash, you're not so to conduct yourself with lightheadedness, to go and schok, laughing, be tool and jokes, the Sikha, the Taylor, and Nar Meshachay, Vein Ochlum Behem, Vein Shotin Behem, you don't eat in it, you drink in it, Vein Otin Behem, you don't use it for your own purposes, Vein Natalim Behem, and you don't stand, take a spatzir. If it's very hot outside, you can't go into a shul in order to cool off. If it's pouring outside, you can't go into a shul in order to get out of the rain. The Shulchan Aruch is going to say that if you have to go in because of the rain, right? So you go in and you sit down, and you know what you say? Ashrei Yoshvei Meisecha Ol Yaharulucha Sela. You're doing very well. The wise men and their students are permitted because there is no other place, and you know they have to learn, can't go elsewhere, so they're permitted to eat and drink. By the way, the Medrash says, we're just not going to get to the Medrash, so I might as well say it now. In both of these halakhot in the Rambam, and we're going to see it later on, he talks about batei knesiyot and batei medrashot. Bet Knesset is a place that its purpose is prayer, and Bet Medrash is a place that its purpose is the study of Torah. And the fact is, the Shulchan Aruch says that after davening in the morning, a person should go from the Bet Knesset to the Bet HaMedrash. So you start a place that is called Bet Knesset, and the other is Bet Medrash. The Kedusha, the sanctity of a Bet Medrash, is higher than the sanctity of a Bet Knesset. And on this, the Gemara says, Yelchu Michayel El Chayel, going from the shul to the Beis Medrash, is going from strength to greater strength. Yelchu Michayel El Chayel. Seven Vein Chashmehem Cheshbonot, alright, a little over Vein Chashmehem Cheshbonot, El Tien Hoyu Cheshbonot El Mitzvah. You can't sit in shul and go over your checkbook or your bank statement. You don't make calculations unless they are calculations of mitzvah. For example, if the one who has to calculate how much money there is in tzedakah, or what money was collected for pidyon shvuyim, the chayot of that, they must be the man. This we learned in the Mishnah. You can't make a eulogy, el hesped shel rabin, a hesped for the community. It can also mean, if this is a hesped at which Gedolei Yisrael are going to be present, so a lot of people want to come and see them. So you're permitted to have the do it in the Beit Knesset. All right, we'll have to stop over here, but basically we took one of the chapters in Tehillim that talks about the longing that a Jew has to the Beit Knesset, and the Beit Knesset, as we say, represents both closeness to God and the sense of awe, reverence, fear, distant from him. And that's exactly the way the Jew is supposed to feel in his life. Both the Ashrei Yoshev in Techa, Ashrei Adam Ozlovach, Ashrei Adam, what's the last? Ashrei Adam Boteachba.
Now I know why they call them Mavakir and Dinah Mavakir.
That's right, Mavakir and Dinah is from that From that's the real meaning of the word Mevakeri. Yes.
I just want to save Toby a little research.
Yeah.
The name of the singer of the Angel that came just came to my head.
Yes.
It's Leo Fuchs, not Fuchs. Fuchs.
I'm not sure. I think that we have to have with the Leo. That's right. As long as it's okay. I want to wish you that you should have a very, very fruitful day. Okay.